Lyle Pressler, punk rock legend and music industry vet. Jim Shear, most tenured VJ in the history of music television. Two men on one mission to talk about music. And it all starts now.
Hello there, everybody. My name is Jim Shear.
And I'm Lyle Pressler.
And welcome to the show. And on today's episode, we will talk about the headliners of this year's Lollapalooza, the headliners of this year's Warped Tour. Is Axl Rose really the new frontman of AC/DC? We'll talk about a little letter Dave Grohl wrote to the town of Cornwall, England, in support of a teen metal band. We'll talk about the EDM Twitter feud between Diplo and Zedd. And we have our music picks of the week. We'll play Ask Lyle. But first, we got to shout out Fife Dog Malik Taylor from A Tribe Called Quest, who passed away at the age of 45. Now,
that's right. Yeah.
For those that don't know, for years, Fife was battling type 1 diabetes, and he also had a kidney transplant in 2008. Oof. And I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary Beats, Rhymes, and Life, The Travels of A Tribe Called Quest.
I have not.
But it's directed by Michael Rapaport. And in that documentary, you kind of really go through the health problems that Fife went through most of his life. And to me, he was always, I don't know if you listened to a lot of Tribe Called Quest, Lyle.
I did listen to a fair amount of it. I was intrigued when I read about them and was really impressed. I can't say I was a fan, but I do recall thinking, wow, this is really cutting-edge stuff. This is really interesting.
Because it was different.
I mean, it was very different.
If you played A Tribe Called Quest with any other hip-hop that was going on at the time, it stuck out, man.
Oh, it stuck way out, absolutely. And it was. It's also interesting to me the number of accolades and remembrances that have come in the last day or so from just all sorts of different folks.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there was the band had a huge impact on not just hip hop, but pop music and rock music and just about everything.
Mm-hmm. And to me, Fife was always the Yogi Berra of hip hop.
I know. I love his lyrics. His lyrics are great.
So matter of fact.
There's one line that I don't remember a lot, but I remember one line talking about something to the effect of, like, I've got more rhymes than the Wayans got family, which I thought was just absolutely brilliant. I don't know. I mean, that's just beautiful.
Well, yeah, that was in the song Buggin' Out. He says, I float like gravity, never had a cavity, got more rhymes than the Wayans got family.
There you go. That's it. That's the line.
And that song also features one of my favorite Fife lyrics. I never half step. Because I'm not a half-stepper. I drink a lot of soda, so they call me Dr. Pepper. Once again, very Yogi Berra of him. I'm not
very Yogi Berra.
Yeah, I don't half-step because I'm not a half-stepper.
Now, yeah, and I live in Yogi Berra's town. I live in Montclair, which is Yogi Berra Central.
And before we end this conversation on Fife Dog, he had two lyrics which I have thought about maybe more than any other lyric in the history of hip-hop. And maybe not always for a good reason. In the song Oh My God, he has a rhyme where he says, I like my beats hard, like two-day-old shit. Now, as we all know, Lyle, two-day-old shit is petrified. It's very hard. But on the other hand, I would always say, well, he likes his beats like shit. It's like that that quote from Happy Gilmore. You eat pieces of shit for breakfast? But I love the lyric because it always makes me feel something. Wherever I am, I'm like, really? Like you like your beats like two-day-old shit? And there's another one in Scenario, which I always think about. Fife rhymes, bust a nut inside your eye to show you where I come from.
Oh,
and I thought, well, there's got to be an easier way to show people where you come from. You know, maybe a hat or a t-shirt. But you really got to bust a nut into somebody's eye?
Yeah, you can show your driver's license, something like that, birth certificate, social security card. Yeah, just about anything. Yeah, it's interesting. I guess that, you know, it's at least the first line is more of a visceral thing, right? I mean, you sort of feel that in your stomach right now.
And I always love that Fife Dog would drop in rhymes about food and sports teams. Because one of his most famous is, Bo knows this, Bo knows that, but Bo don't know Jack because Bo don't rap. Bo can't rap, he actually said. So rest in peace, Fife Dog, Malik Taylor. He leaves us at the age of 45, and A Tribe Called Quest is definitely in my top five hip-hop groups of all time. So Lollapalooza headliners have been announced. Well, the whole festival has been announced. It's happening July 28th through 31st in Grant Park in Chicago, Illinois. It is now a four-day festival.
4 days.
Dang. I remember when festivals used to be one day, then it was a two-day thing, then it was a four freaking days.
I don't know. You see, I am just the anti-festival guy, like, just absolutely. And it's funny because I think before I ever even went to a festival, I used to play music with a guy named Tesco V, and he was older than me, and he grew up in Ann Arbor. And he was a big rock guy as a kid growing up, and he even had Mark Bolan's whip that he used to whip his Les Paul with. You know, I mean, he had like, great. But he used to talk about going to these festivals that you've all heard about from the 70s. Mm-hmm. Where usually Grand Funk would headline, right? And the way he would describe it was, you go out in the middle of this open field in August, it'd be just freaking dripping sweat. You start drinking at noon, and like by 3 o'clock, you just don't want to be there anymore. And the damn thing's going to go to like 10 o'clock at night. And that was one day. I think the last one I went to was maybe on like Governor's Island or something, and it was pouring rain. Mm-hmm. The mud was like up to your knees, and I think Chumbawamba played. Actually,
wow.
It was some sort of Guinness thing. I don't know why I was there, but it was horrible. And I just remember thinking, if I never have to do this again, it'll be a wonder.
Yeah, everybody knows that in Chicago, for whatever reason, it always rains at least one day during Lollapalooza weekend. And by Sunday, it's just a mud pit. It always happens. There's always one day where it freaking rains. Now, the headliners this year, on Thursday night, it's J. Cole and Lana Del Rey. Friday night, Radiohead. Saturday night, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And on Sunday night, it will be LCD Sound System. So headliner-wise, are you fine with that?
So, yeah, I think it's fine. That means that LCD Sound System will be playing in torrential rain, basically. They could just mark that down, you know.
It'll be very messy during that set.
Very messy.
But
I think it's a good lineup. I don't know. I mean, what do I know?
You know a lot. You know? You're a music industry
vet. Well, I mean, what do I know about? Well, like I just said, you know, I don't go to these things. I have to be honest. It's like, more power to you if you're going to do it. I just can't imagine anything worse. I mean, honestly, I would go to see, like, you know, three teen movies in a row. I'd watch the entire Mockingjay thing, like, over and over. You know, I guess the only salvation is that you can at least maybe you can get a beer. The only problem is then you got to pee.
Yeah,
and that becomes its own adventure.
I know. Because I remember when I would go to I still go to festivals, but not as many as I used to.
Don't you go more behind the scenes? At least you're in like a VIP tent or something.
Yeah, in the last 10 years, yes.
I was with you at Hershey Park.
Oh yeah, the mixtape festival.
Right when it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
And you guys had to do some sort of spontaneous like dance off.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that probably was the best entertainment of the whole thing.
Because I think Boyz II Men were scheduled to play, and then it was a torrential downpour, and hundreds of people inside of a tent, and we said, well, let's freaking do something. So we had an impromptu dance-off.
Well, that was better than standing around with a guy that I knew who had one of those crazy, like, weather apps on his phone. And would give you every 5 fucking minutes an update on like, well, like, you know, it looks like there's a front moving in, but it's going to be gone in 4 minutes. And you know, sit there and go, oh, please, please. Wasn't that the one also where One Republic had a whole like grill set up?
Yeah.
They had stopped at like an A&P or something and bought T-bones.
Yeah.
And were just out there grilling.
And Ryan Tedder was cooking the whole meal.
That's right. He was the cook, and mm-hmm. he had some wonderful sauce going. And
yeah.
Also, I was really impressed. I mean, I was like, wow, you guys know what you're doing here. No craft services for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, Ryan Tedder's a renaissance man.
He really
is. He's a front man, a songwriter, and he can barbecue.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's actually, if you can't barbecue and you come from the South, then you're basically thrown out.
Well, he's not from the South, right?
He's not?
I think he's from Colorado.
Oh, well, Colorado's kind of the honorary South.
So if I'm attending Lollapalooza this year, which right now I don't currently plan to, I think I want to hit Saturday and Sunday, Radiohead and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And on the same day that the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing, Jane's Addiction will also be playing. So that's a little nod to Lollapalooza's of yesteryear and its founder, Perry Farrell. So there's also the Warped Tour happening this summer. So if you're not attending Lollapalooza, Lyle, maybe you could just do one day at the Warped Tour.
I could have done that. What is it? The punk rock bowling one? Is that the one? Is there another one that involves bowling somehow?
I don't know.
I think that already happened.
Oh.
I think I missed that. Or maybe it's coming up. Yeah.
So I'm really curious. Have you ever attended the Warped Tour?
No.
Wow.
No.
Do you know if you attended the Warped Tour and you let people know that you were Lyle Presler, you would be treated like a god?
I've told that, but then I live vicariously through like Brian Baker from Bad Religion, so he's done that enough times, I think.
Yeah, because the first time I met Brian was at a Warped Tour.
Yeah, that's all I have to do is ask him, and it's like, In fact, it's actually a funny thing. I think at one point during the Warped Tour, they had this thing where they had an actual Guitar Hero band. You had judges judging your Guitar Hero skills, and I think Brian was picked somehow as being a judge of this thing, which is a very bad idea, very bad. I mean, on many levels. And it's funny because the Guitar Hero people came to us at one point and asked us to, if we wanted to license our songs for Guitar Hero. And most of us were like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. And Brian just jumped in with an email that was like 10 pages long going, I've judged these damn things. These people ought to pick up real guitars and play. I don't want to ever be involved in anything. It was like, okay, man. All right.
Well, you said... For the four members of Minor Threat, all of you have to agree on it, right?
That's right.
If there's it doesn't happen.
It's Security Council, basically. Everyone has veto.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the lineup this year, it's kind of interesting because it's filled with pop punk bands from the early 2000s. So these guys actually inspired the pop punk bands of today. I guess we would consider them maybe a fourth wave punk. You've got Newfound Glory, Sum 41, Good Charlotte, Yellow Card, Less Than Jake, Real Big Fish.
Okay.
And if you like your hip hop.
But Real Big Fish or not?
No, they're ska.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And Less Than Jake is kind of dips into those ska waters too, but they were playing with all of those pop punk bands in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, and if you like your hip hop, Waka Flocka Flame will also be on the Vans Warped Tour this summer. And once again, I would love to attend with you. We could get free hot dogs and gyros all afternoon.
It just sounds so appealing.
If you want free hot dogs and gyros.
You know how I like my beef, right?
And before we go to break, there are rumors swirling that Axl Rose will replace Brian Johnson in AC/DC. So here's how the rumor mill started. He was spotted in Atlanta. A fan asked him, what are you doing in town? He said, well, I'm here for rehearsals. And a fan said, well, Guns N' Roses would rehearse in L.A. And then I guess AC/DC needs to do 10 makeup dates in the USA. One of those dates is in Atlanta. There's a source that says it's all but a done deal. So what's your take on this?
Well, I mean, first of all, where a band rehearses in this modern age is really kind of, that's entirely speculative. I mean, they could rehearse anywhere. But I would say that, and we talked about the Brian Johnson thing, and I'm still kind of perplexed by the whole routine. But you know, you got to be awfully brave to put Axl Rose in AC/DC. I mean, that's just, again, it's just like, okay, is that really going to happen? Even if there are rehearsals, I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know that I really care. I guess Axl can pull it off.
So there's 10 dates. He just has to do 10 concerts. And
right.
Guns N' Roses, remember, is playing Coachella on April 16th and April 23rd. No,
okay,
I don't know if they've I don't know if they've done the makeup dates yet, but I think they end in early April. So maybe he would use this as kind of a tune-up in a way.
It could. I mean, if he's only going to do 10 dates with them and they really need to do these dates and need a fill-in, then I guess that makes some sense.
So,
I mean, you know, it's like I almost think that I could probably sing most of those songs. I mean, I couldn't actually sing them, but I mean, I'd know the words.
Mm.
Or at least most of the words. I mean, you know, I mean, if and don't they all use teleprompters anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you know,
You should have put in a call.
No, I can't. I couldn't pull it off vocally, but I could pull it off in terms of, I could coach.
Okay.
Okay, here comes big balls. I got big balls.
So, if Axel's listening, Lyle will coach you
for
these 10 AC/DC dates.
Yeah, I'll sit there with a little baton, you know, tap out the rhythm.
And everything will be in teleprompter, so you don't have
there
to worry about forgetting any lyrics. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will talk about Dave Grohl sticking up for a teenage metal band in Cornwall, England.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario? Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Ayo, Bo knows this.
What?
And Bo knows that.
What?
But Bo don't know jack, because Bo can't rap. Well, what do you know? The Diddog is first up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holes barred, no time for move faking. Gots to get to loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like who will help you get your Z's true. But here's the real scoop. I'm all that and then some. Short, dark, and handsome. Bust a nut inside your eye to show you where I come from. I'm vexed, fuming. I've had it up to here. My days of paying dues are over. Acknowledge me is in there.
Yeah!
Head for the border. Go get a taco. I see record from the jump street. Meaning from the get-go. Sit back, relax, and let yourself go. Don't sweat what you heard. Now act like you know.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all.
Who got the vibe?
All right, everybody. We are back. And our brave rock ambassador, Dave Grohl, wrote a letter to the town of Cornwall, England, in support of a teenage metal band called Black Leaves of Envy, who were asked to stop practicing for noise issues. I guess in this town, you can't go over between 30 and 40 decibels.
Ooh.
And in the letter, Dave Grohl actually explained what that means. If you had a dishwasher running and you stood 16 yards away, that's as loud as you can get. So if you're a metal band, you have to play louder than a dishwasher.
Yeah, you would think so.
So
yeah.
I'm going to read part of this letter.
But Brian Johnson probably knows a little bit about that.
Sadly. Yes, sadly. But keep in mind, he was doing it for a while.
Well, yeah, but it all, you know, Jim, I hate to tell you, but like actually, there's not necessarily that much of a correlation between the length of time. It's really more the suddenness and the volume.
Wow.
Like
so if you forget your earplugs one day, that's it. That could be it.
Yeah, like a really, absolutely, a really sudden high volume can really knock your hearing out faster than just a prolonged exposure. Because
wow.
What happens is you have a certain amount of noise gate in your own head.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, your hearing shuts down a little bit to try to protect you. But it's those really sudden sounds. There have been people who, my amp's not working, and they put their ear right up to the speaker, and then bam, and then they got trouble.
Now, how are your ears?
They're okay, but I have developed a little bit of tinnitus. You know, it's a hiss. I can hear a hiss now.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a lot of people from that period, and they all tell me, like, yeah, I got a little bit of that. I actually blame Dave Grohl.
Oh, no.
No, sir, I do, and I'm completely wrong. I mean, it's a joke. But I went to see Foo Fighters play at Madison Square Garden a while back, and, you know, they play for like 3 hours.
Yes, they do.
And there's this horrible thing that sound engineers do, which people don't really know, is they actually start, over time, they turn the volume up.
Mm-hmm.
because there is ear fatigue. It's that noise gate coming down in the audience's ears. And that's also why often opening bands are restricted to a certain decibel level that's below that of the headliner, because there is fatigue. So, but what happens is they start turning it up over time. Well, after 3 hours, they've turned it up so far. And I remember Taylor was hitting those cymbals, and I thought my brain was going to fall out. And the next thing I noticed was the hissing. Now, I'm not going to say that Dave's, well, actually, maybe I should. He's got a lot of money. maybe I should say he's responsible for it, but I doubt that's true. I think that's just precipitous, if nothing else.
You know what's happening right now, Lyle? Someone from Cornwall, England is listening to this podcast.
And I know,
and they said we were gonna give the band permission, but not after this. Forget about it.
I'm sorry, Black Leaves of Envy, you are screwed. Thank you. And I'll be on the Warped Tour, by the way. If you want to buy me a hot dog.
So in this letter, Dave Grohl writes, I'm an American musician of over 30 years, having played professionally with such bands as Nirvana and Foo Fighters, just to name a few, selling over 100 million records combined. I have traveled the world since 1987, playing clubs, arenas, festivals, and stadiums, many of them in the UK. Like many musicians, I started in a garage in my neighborhood. Right. Together with my friends, my adolescent years were made better by playing music with others. Music is not only a healthy pastime, it is a wonderful creative outlet for kids and fosters a sense of community necessary to the emotional and social development of any child. He later writes, for musicians that lack the resources to rehearse in professional facilities, a garage or basement is the only place they have to develop their talent and passion. And he closes the letter by writing, for the sake of your local band, Black Leaves of Envy, and for the generations of young musicians that they may eventually inspire, I ask that you reconsider the restrictions put upon the volume of their private rehearsal space. I believe that in doing so, you will be sending a message that Cornwall is not only a home to music and the arts, but a place that encourages children to follow their dreams in a world where anything is possible.
Wow, good for him, man. But I kind of feel like we're getting to the point of like, it's almost like, Dave, clean up in aisle three, Dave. Dave, clean up aisle three. I mean, it's sort of like anytime we need anything, we just got to call Dave, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we should call Dave about everything. And we just basically call him up and go, like, Dave, we got this little bit of a problem in Syria.
Yeah.
You think maybe you could help us out with this, you know?
I mean we send Dennis Rodman. We send Dennis Rodman to North Korea.
There you go. See, although I don't know if we sent him, but he went.
I think it's great.
And I have to say, as a person who did rehearse in a basement in the beginning, which was a connected house. These were row houses, connected houses. You know, I have to say that I totally agree with him. I mean, most people don't have the wherewithal to, like, find some professional place to rehearse or mm-hmm. find some place out of town. I mean, if you have a friend with a farmhouse or something, you're in good shape. But I mean, for the most part, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And often it's awful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're the person listening to it, I'm not going to say the name of the band, but there was a band that rehearsed in my basement that I was, you know, letting them do it. And they played the same song for like 8 months. And it was just, I mean, even for me, it was just like brutal, you know. It got to the point where you just couldn't even think. And you'd hear the song all the time. I mean, when you're sleeping and hearing the song, you just hear it forever. But I think it's great that Dave did that. I'm not sure what mechanism there was where they got to him, but it's a very nicely written letter.
Yeah, and no word yet if Black Leaves of Envy can practice in their garage again. But right now, I want to play a new game on the show called Mountain or Molehill. So, Lyle, are the following
mountain
stories...
Mountain or molehill?
Mountain or...
Are you going to explain that?
Yeah.
Are you going to explain that? What's that mean?
Are the following stories a big deal or no deal at all?
Or can you make a mountain out of a molehill?
Maybe. Yeah, you tell me. Let's find out. So, Thursday, the influential post-hardcore emo band will reunite for the first time since 2011. They are scheduled to headline Atlanta's Wrecking Ball Festival happening August 12th through the 14th. Mountain or molehill?
Well, I think I saw Thursday at Brownies back in the 90s, possibly, or maybe the late 90s or early 2000s, mm-hmm. probably early 2000s, yeah. I guess if you're a fan of Thursday, it's a mountain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, you know, we've talked about how I feel about, you know, reunions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for a lot of people who, I mean, the band wasn't that popular. I think for a lot of people, it's a molehill. But if you're a fan, it's a mountain.
Okay. I think it's a molehill.
Okay.
Because Thursday, they were doing their thing. They had their moment. They actually signed to a major label, and then they kind of had to come down, and then they broke up, and they're back together. The thing is, if they didn't break up and they stayed together as a band, I don't think anybody would care that they're playing Atlanta's Wrecking Ball Festival in August.
No, I think that's true. You've got to break up. I'll give it a molehill overall, definitely.
Molehill. But with the exception of you being a big Thursday fan, then it's a mountain.
That's right.
All right, mountain or molehill, The Weeknd has dropped off Rihanna's European tour due to some unforeseen changes in upcoming projects. Mountain or molehill?
Well, first of all, that the wording of that statement is, I mean, try to figure that one out. You know, I'd rather listen to the, you know, Republican debates than that. I mean, it's what does that mean?
To me, Lyle, it's I found something better to do. That's going to pay me more money.
That's what it sounds like. I found something better, and this just isn't it. I think that's kind of a mountain.
To me, it's a molehill right now, but it could be a really big mountain later on.
And how do you figure?
So say if The Weeknd goes off and he does his own thing, that's going to stick with Rihanna. So maybe down the line, Rihanna has something big in store, and she thinks about teaming up with The Weeknd, and she's like, nah, man, like he dissed me in Europe in 2016. So bye-bye.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. I mean, I think if you were hoping to go to her show and you were expecting to see him as well, you know, that's a drag.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I had tickets to see Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin, and Dean Martin had to pull out. And I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mountain or molehill, there was a Twitter beef this week between Diplo and Zedd, and I'll break it down like this. Zedd did a song for M&M's, and he did a reimagining of Willy Wonka's Candyman. And Diplo sent out a tweet, and he's like, M&M's Candyman? And then Zedd tweeted back, stop being a jealous bitch. And then Diplo tweeted back, fake flume drop. Flume is an EDM act. Featuring M&M's, it's not all about the money. And then Deadmau5 joins in, and he says, unless...
I have ears!
He says, unless it's a Bieber collab, because that's in no way about the money. We all know Zedd's shit sucks, but we love him. And then DJ Snake later joined in, and just for the heck of it, he tweeted, fuck you, Calvin Harris.
Oh my, where do I even begin? I tuned into Charlie Rose the other night, and believe it or not, he did an entire show with Diplo.
Wow.
And I was just, I'm going to be mean.
Okay.
No one fucking cares. I mean, in all seriousness, like these guys, they make, first of all, do you know that Calvin Harris made, I think, $60 million last year?
Yeah, I know he makes a lot of money.
Okay, and I don't begrudge anybody making the money. That's not an issue, because we give it to them, and they take it, and that's all fine. But to be blunt, no one's going to remember who these fucking people are in 5 years. And so I just think, like, you guys are all out there making ridiculous amounts of money doing something which I think is just basically spinning records for the most part. I mean, some of them write, and that's fine. But I cannot understand that we would place any kind of, any kind of weight on any of this. It just seems like a bunch of people who are bored and making too much money sitting around insulting each other. It's just a molehill. An anthill. You know, I can't. I'm sorry. I know that's. I mean, I'm probably being tremendously unfair. There's no question they're talented and all that stuff. But to me, it's just like a bunch of people just talking about nothing. Although I do like the Calvin Harris thing.
Yeah.
I love it when you drag somebody into it that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, to me, it's a molehill. This happens all the time on Twitter. And what I hate about Twitter beefs is that it happens for a day or two, maybe a week or two, and that's it.
That's it.
Twitter
yeah.
beefs give us nothing. It's just people are bored and they send out mean tweets. So Mountain or Molehill, vinyl sales were up 32% last year, bringing in more money than advertiser-supported free streams.
Advertiser-supported streams are things like YouTube, mm-hmm. where you have to probably watch at least 5 seconds of a Cadillac commercial, and then you get to watch your video,
mm-hmm.
Or you get to stream the song. And so I guess the industry is using this as a way to say, look, you know, we're not making any money from these advertiser things, supported activities. Now, that does not include Spotify, Pandora, Tidal, all the rest of that stuff.
Okay.
So that we should be clear that there is a line there. And, of course, the people who are or the streaming advocates, if you will, are saying, well, look, you're comparing apples to oranges here because, you know, the real money is in the Spotify's of the world, the Pandora's of the world. That's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting. I mean, I don't know, you know, and of course, if you're a record geek, you're saying, see, I told you.
Now, you know. So are you saying it's mountain or molehill?
I think it's a molehill.
Yeah.
And I also think that it's a short-lived trend. We've talked about this. Like, you go to Urban Outfitters and you buy vinyl for $12 or $15 or whatever it is, and then you buy one of those plastic record players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you go home and you go, oh, I'm getting the vinyl experience. You know, well, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm amazed when people say, oh, we want to hear the pops and the clicks. Well, if you have a good system and good vinyl, you don't hear pops and clicks. So, I don't know. I mean, it sort of seems nostalgic to me, and it's fine. And it's fun to see. The thing I always liked about vinyl more than anything else was the big artwork.
Yes.
You know, that was the thing that always made it good. You know, you got the gatefold sleeves and the, you know, all the rest of it. So I think there's nostalgia there. And I think there's some young people who kind of find it interesting, but I don't see this as something that's going to become a big money maker for anybody.
Yeah, I think it's a molehill too. And I think the stats are misleading. Because if you look at the overall amount of records that are sold, it's peanuts compared to
right.
10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. And then people are buying more vinyl because they're buying less CDs.
That's true. And the other thing is, what that doesn't tell you is how much is the artist actually making off those vinyl sales.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really know how much of that money is being passed along. And let's face it, the one big issue with vinyl was always the expense of it. I mean, the manufacturing costs, the shipping costs, which are much higher, of course. I mean, obviously, they're much higher than digital transmission, which is free.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you wonder about, like, where, it, you know, when vinyl started to die out, it was all vanity projects, basically. So,
hey, do you have any birthdays today?
This is a bad birthday day, for the most part. I would give a shout out to Chad Butler, who's the drummer in Switchfoot.
Okay.
And he's 42 years old. And the only big one is Nana. Nana of 99 Luftballons fame.
Oh, wow. Okay.
German singer. She's 56. And it's funny because I have a postcard somewhere that she wrote to me.
Wow.
Basically, all it said was, I heart Meatmen. Which I took as the band I was in and not a reflection on me.
Right. So she just sent it to you out of the blue?
She just sent it to us out of the blue, yeah. And I have it somewhere. But, yeah.
Before we go to break, the number one single on the Billboard Hot 100 this week, Work from Rihanna featuring Drake for a fifth straight week. The number one album on the Billboard 200, Anti from Rihanna. The number one song on iTunes, No, from Meghan Trainor. The number one album on iTunes, This Is What the Truth Feels Like, from Gwen Stefani. And the number one song on Spotify this week, Work, from Rihanna, featuring Drake. When we come back, Lyle and I will have our music picks of the week, so don't you go anywhere.
Yo, microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? The 5-foot assassin with the roughneck business. I float like gravity, never had a cavity. Got more rhymes than the one that's got family. No need
hate to sweat Arsenio to gain some type of fame. No shame in my game, cause I always be the same. Styles upon styles upon styles is what I have. You wanna just a fighter, but you still don't know the half. I sport New Balance sneakers to avoid a narrow path. Messing around with distance can't size it up. I never have stuff, cause I'm not a half stepper. Drink a lot of soda, so they call me Dr. Pepper. Refuse to compete with BS competition. Your name is special, so won't you suckle with the mission? I never walk the street, think it's all about me. Even though deep in my heart, it really could be. I just try my best to like go all out. Some might even say, yo, shorty black, you bug it out. Zulu Nation,
brother's last creation. We are back, Jim Shear and Lyle Presler, and now it is time for our music picks of the week. And I'm going to play this one a little bit differently, Lyle.
Okay.
I'm going to play the song without telling you who it's from.
Okay.
But I'll give you the background. I was driving in my car. I heard this song, and I drive a Prius, so I have different screens, and I had my climate screen on, and I thought, ooh, I'm intrigued. So I hit the audio button, and it told me that it was from a certain artist. And when I found out who it was from, I was a little bummed. I wanted it to be a brand new girl group because it reminds me of sort of the missing link between Destiny's Child and an R&B girl group from the mid-90s like Jade or SWV. I thought, ooh, this is nice.
Okay.
So then I forgot about it. And a couple weeks later, the song came on again, and I completely forgot who did it. So once again, I hit my audio button, and I said, oh, yeah, that's right. She does the song. So
Okay, I'm intrigued.
All right, here it is right now. The song is called No.
I think it's so cute, and I think it's so sweet how you let your friends encourage you to try and talk to me. But let me stop you there, oh, before you speak.
My name is no, my sign is no, my number is no. You need to let it go, you need to let it go, need to let it go. My name is no, my sign is no, my number is no. You need to let it go, you need to let it go, need to let it go.
First you gonna say you ain't running game, thinking I believe in every word. Call me beautiful, so original, telling me I'm not like other girls. I was in my zone before you came along. Now I'm thinking maybe you should go. Blah, blah, blah. I be like, nah, ta-da, ah, ta-da, no, no, no. All my ladies, listen up. If that boy ain't giving up, lick your lips and swing your hips, girl. All you gotta say.
My name is no, my sign is no, my number is no. You need to let it go, you need to let it go, need to let it go.
My name is no, my sign is no.
Thank you in advance, I don't wanna dance, nope. I don't need your hands all over me, no, no. If I want a man, then I'ma get a man, but it's never my priority, hey. I was in my zone before you came along, don't want you to take this personal, blah, 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 I be like, nah, ta-da, ah, ta-da, no, no, no.
All my ladies, listen
all my ladies.
Up, if that boy ain't giving,
up,
lick your lips, hey, and swing, hey, your hips, girl,
go.
No, my sign is no, my number is no. You need to let it go, you need to let it go, need to let it go.
My name is no, my sign is no, my number is no. You need to let it go, you need to let it go, need to let it go.
No, no, no.
I'm feeling untouchable, untouchable.
I'm feeling
untouchable, untouchable.
I'm feeling
untouchable.
No, my sign is no, my number is no. You need to let it go, you need to let it go, need to let it go.
All right. No from Meghan Trainor.
Meghan Trainor.
Is that wrong of me that I don't like the song as much because it's from Meghan Trainor?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've come to points in my life where I decided I didn't like a band for whatever reason or an artist, and I would just dislike everything they did after that.
But the thing is, I downloaded the song.
Okay.
So maybe she's slowly winning me back, but yeah, I really thought it was going to be like the next Destiny's Child or something.
Well, I was going to say, and I have to give credit. There was a review years ago. It was in either NME or the Melody Maker, one of the two papers, and the writer was reviewing a book about Duran Duran, and the first line of it or the subtitle of his review was, "Like Roxy Music Never Happened." And I always use that now, like, you know, like such and such. And so for me, it is like Destiny's Child never happened.
Yeah.
And of course, that's what pop music is. I mean, basically, you know, it's nods to the past. It's a little bit of new stuff. It's reminiscent of something. And, you know, that's why pop music is to some extent sort of throwaway, because after a while, a lot of it begins to sound the same, but if you like it, you like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an engaging song. I mean, I don't know, Jim. I gotta say, like, I think your reasons for not liking it, if you decide you don't, might go further than just who did it. I think it's. I mean, I just think it's so formulaic that it's.
But then again, don't you like how she comes back on that? No. But then,
yeah,
no, but
no,
then, no.
Yeah, no, but that's like, you know, what is it? You know, no, you can't have my number. No, I'm not. You know, I mean, it's very reminiscent, isn't it? Scrubs.
It sounds like a TLC song too.
Yeah, I mean, it's Scrubs basically. Listen, it's a good pop song. There's no question about it.
I can be walked off the cliff.
But then again, I don't think you should dislike it because it's Meghan Trainor. I mean, who cares?
So, what's your music pick of the week?
All right, so I'll play the same game as you.
Okay.
I heard the song, and it's ambient music. I mean, it's electronic, but it's ambient. And when I say ambient, and it's a terrible word.
I know. You just turned me off, man.
What does it mean anything anyway? Because it can cover any amount of ground you want. But I also, I glommed onto this song because it features Tom York from Radiohead.
Ooh.
And I remember you telling me how you're done.
I'm done.
you're done. And to a good extent, I am too. But I did decide that, but I kind of liked it because it just has a pleasant feel to it. I'll just say that.
Okay, so let's play the mystery track from Lyle.
Thank you.
All right.
And that is Mark Pritchard featuring Tom York, and the song is called Beautiful People off of his new record. And I don't know, I just kind of, it just has a pleasant feel to it. I mean, it's such a contrast to like a lot of the beat-driven pop music that we hear and rock music, obviously. And once in a while, I'll just kind of entertain that. I don't think I'm going to be listening to that 3 years from now.
No.
On any level. But it's one of those things which I kind of like.
If you're lifting weights in the basement, are you listening to that song?
If I'm doing what?
Lifting weights in the basement.
I don't think that's a good pumping iron song. It might be a good long car trip song, as long as you're not actually too tired.
Right. To
and
me,
then all of a sudden,
no, it's nice. It's a nice pick of the week. I like that it's not a Radiohead song, so you can have a song like this. Having Tom York sing vocals, just as long as it's not a Radiohead song. It's fine. Like, I'm fine with it. But I got to tell you, Lyle, every time I hear Cake by the Ocean, I think of you because that was your first ever music pick of the week.
First pick of the week.
To date, you haven't done better than that.
I know. I haven't.
And it's crazy that Joe Jonas singing the song about Cake by the Ocean, I think of Lyle Presler. I automatically associate it with you. But that's good.
Well, I think there was a point when I was a lot younger that I actually looked like one of the Jonas Brothers.
So when we come back, we are going to play Ask Lyle.
The madman Malik makes some seeds run for milk of magnesia. Maybe that'll ease ya. Master of this microphone, Mackie. Master as in great, I have your brain going in circles as my style tends to modulate. I'm making moves, never movies. That's why your MCs lose me, which makes most of your stubborn like groupies. Yeah, you know my flavor, I rip this whole jam apart. Fuck around, I have your heart, like Jordan had stocks. While you playing hokey pokey, there's no time to be jokey. Cause I come out to play every night like Charles Oakley. Disallowing whack rhyming, you lose your grip from chalk lining. Let me take this time to say R.I.P. to Phyllis Hyman. Who never got the props that she damn well deserved. But see me, you don't want to see me, cause all MCs will get served. The nerve for you to even step to the fifer. I bum rush your set and crush your whole cypher. Reserve a spot for me in hip hop's hall of fame. This rapping ain't no game, big up your head and maintain. Yeah, queens forever in this piece, crushing any beat. Ain't nothing sweet, the bakeries across the fucking street. Fight dog, swinging it back and forth just like Aaliyah. Making moves on your heart like that chick Tamia. No doubt about it, I love hip hop to death. But yo, tip, bringing the chorus, cause I'm losing my breath.
Hey yo, you know the deal with when the Jiggy Dog is on the scene. We got the fiends walking straight from the Borough Queens. You know the deal when the Jiggy Dog is on the scene. We got the fiends walking straight from the Borough Queens. You know the deal when the Jiggy Dog is on the scene. We got the fiends walking straight from the Borough Queens. You know the deal when the Jiggy Dog is on the scene. You know the deal, high. You know the deal.
Big up Pop Duke. That's where I caught my athleticism. My mama, no doubt that's where I got my lyricism. My nana, that's where I got my spiritualism. As for tipping shot, they made me stop from smoking ism. And when I'm with some cheese, I be letting off jism. Writing rhymes since Daddy Kane and Bismarck was on prism. I got a brave heart like the one named Shirley Chisholm. As for my late twin boy,
it's time now for Ask Lyle.
Ask Lyle.
Where I ask Mr. Lyle Presler three random questions. Some can be about music, some can be about snack food. My first question, earlier we were talking about the EDM Twitter beef between Diplo and Zedd. Obviously, when Minor Threat was touring, there was no Twitter, hence you couldn't have any Twitter beefs. But did Minor Threat ever have beef with any bands?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Can we talk about one of those beefs?
Sure, sure. I can. I give you a couple that were kind of fun. And these were not beefs that we started, but one of them was with a punk band from Los Angeles called TSOL.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys were like, first of all, they were all at least 6 feet tall. They were giants, and we were not big guys. But apparently, like, there was a fanzine at the time, and a guy who was an artist named Brian. Drew a picture that was disparaging towards TSOL, like a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, TSOL got it in their heads that the Brian that did the picture was Brian from our band.
Ooh.
So we were playing Los Angeles, and they were on the bill, or they weren't on the bill, or they were there, I don't know. And next thing I know, like, they've got Brian up against the wall, and they're about to kill him. And so it became this whole thing, and of course, you know, in the heat of the moment, like, things start to happen, but then you realize, wait a minute, you don't even have the right Brian here. It's like, this just, that shows you how bad it was back then, how information flowed back then.
It's a very common name.
It's a common name, and we were all sort of in the same scene, so, you know, you get the idea. The other one was, we had a little bit of a beef with Husker Du.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were playing with them in San Diego. They were opening for us, and we walked into the dressing room, and I don't remember which one, but I think it might have been Grant, or it could have been Bob, decided to shake up a Coke can and spray it all over us and say, look, it's Straight Edge Rain.
Ooh.
Which was not good. I mean, no one wants to be splattered with Coca-Cola,
yeah.
You know, so.
Or even water.
Yeah. But Coke is much worse because it's just, you know, it's sticky.
The sugar, yeah.
So there was like a little bit of a beef there that I know got sort of resolved at some point, you know, over the years. I know that people are, at least I know that Ian is friends with Bob and Brian is too, I think. And I don't know those guys at all, really. But yeah, there was always some little thing. And then there was always a thing between New York and DC. It was
mm-hmm.
just always, that was always there. And, you know, but that was just people wanting to have something to talk about.
So that
much
is
like Twitter.
Yeah. That's beefs pre-Twitter. That's how it went down, kids. So my second question, per your recommendation, I finally saw the first episode of HBO's Vinyl.
Ah, okay.
So my question for you, what is Lyle Presler's most Vinyl-like moment while working at a record label? So if you're not familiar with the show, it's the record label life in the mid-70s, and everything is turned up to 15.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because I was talking to somebody the other day about this, and I said, you know, when I started working in a record label in 1992, you know, after about a week of it, I sort of looked in the mirror and said to myself, where's the sex, the drugs, and the rock and roll? Because it doesn't seem to be here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was suddenly, you know, it always seems so... you know, dramatic and exciting and exotic. And then I started working, and it was like, oh, right. We show up to work at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. We work till 7 and we basically pound the phones and try to convince people to play records they don't want to play. But I do remember one very, very funny moment that I thought was about as rock and roll as you could get. I used to stay in this hotel in Los Angeles called the Mondrian.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it was right on the Sunset Strip. The reason I stayed there was because you could get a suite for $99 a night, which is just insane.
Yeah.
And at some point, it became like the Rap Hotel,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know how that happened, but one day I showed up and there was like all these rap guys everywhere. I was like, wow, this is interesting. But there was a time where we were shooting a music video in Los Angeles and we had rented a 1960 Cadillac.
Okay.
Okay, convertible to do the shoot in. And they weigh as much as a battleship. Okay. And if you don't know, Sunset is like perched on a hill.
Yep.
And it's a really steep hill. And what happened was we pulled the car out in front of the Mondrian and it broke down.
Ooh.
And we couldn't leave it there because it's like a bus. And so we had to try to figure out how we were going to get it down this incredibly steep hill with no power and turn it into the parking lot, which is on an angle, the entrance to the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're standing out there sort of in our full engineering mode trying to figure out how in the world we're going to do this without letting the car go down the hill and take out half of Los Angeles and how we're going to do this. And who walks out of the doors but Flava Flav? Full on the clock, everything. And he goes, "Man, this car is fat." And I just nonchalantly looked at him and went, "Yeah, but the motherfucker doesn't run." And his comment was, "Run? All you got to do is put some chickens in there and get them to run around the thing. You'll be fine." And I was like, "Thanks for the help, buddy." But I'm afraid there was, you watch Vinyl and you think the whole world was coming to an end in that thing. And maybe it was. And I mean, I've heard all the stories, but I personally never really saw too much that was too crazy.
And my final question, what's your favorite cereal?
Oh, I don't eat a lot of cereal.
How about back in the day?
Back in the day, well, you know, I was one of those kids who would beg my parents to get me, you know, sugar cereals.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, no. And the only time we ever got sugar cereals was when we went on vacation.
Okay.
And we would buy those little packs, you know?
Yeah.
The multi-packs?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, and the problem with it was is that it looked so good on the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tried to eat it, and it was just like Lucky Charms and stuff. Oh, this is horrifically bad. But I think I like Sugar Pops.
Okay.
I like those. I like those a lot. I like Corn Flakes, you know, Frosted Corn Flakes.
Yeah.
But nowadays, yeah, I don't need, I mean, my, you know, my daughter eats Cheerios, basically. I mean, every kid eats Cheerios, don't
yeah.
they? But were you the one who told me that the great thing about cereal was the fact that no one can make it?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
well,
but that is, that's right.
Somebody pointed it out to me that of all the foods that you can think of, like you can go buy a duck
yeah.
and make duck au orange.
You can make sushi.
You can make sushi. You can make almost anything, but you can't make cereal.
Wow.
And that's how they've got you.
And that's why it's so expensive. It's $5 or $6 a box.
Right, because they can charge whatever they want, because it's not like you can go home and crank up the mill in the basement and just start banging those things out.
Wow.
The best you can do is eat, like, polenta or grits or, you know, oatmeal. That's about all you can do.
Wow, so we end Ask Lyle with something I'm going to think about now.
So that's why, you know, Kellogg's, you know, that's where you should have put your money.
I'm going to think about trying to make cereal at home. How would you do that? And, why someone would compare their beets to two-day-old shit. Fife Dog still got me thinking. R.I.P.
He lives on, absolutely.
Yes. Long live A Tribe Called Quest. So that will do it for this week's episode. For Lyle Presler, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.
So long.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.